Ladies and gentlemen, madams and messieurs, welcome to At the End of the Day, show about everything. This week, I am joined by the mighty Peter Quinones, host and creator of the Peter Quinones Show, formerly of the Freeman Beyond the Wall?
Yes.
You, sir, were started off as a meme account, became prominent in the libertarian scene, and now you're just a little dirty little reactionary like the rest of us. I invited you on here, Pete, to help me bury liberalism, nominalism, and individualism once and for all, because I'm personally sick and tired of having these conversations, and I think it's about time we need to move on. Pete, any first thoughts on libertarianism, liberalism, the whole damn yards, and then we'll start the burial.
I thought this was a debate. You don't want to debate me, bro? Oh. We're not debating, bro?
Come on, bro. We want to debate?
Debate me, bro.
Bro, debate. Just like, here, let me just take my pants off, okay? Just take my pants off a little bit.
What? Stroke me. What is the point of, if you go to like Dave Smith's feed today on Twitter, there are all of these people who want to debate him, okay? What the fuck is that going to accomplish? What is it going to accomplish other than you're jerking off in your own little fucking, in your own little debate club? I mean, it's like, oh, who's running for Libertarian Party president? I'm like, oh, who's running for the president of the book club? what are we talking about here? And believe me, I read books on my show. I read books every day personally. I don't think that if I get enough people to read this book, man, we're going to change the world. If I could just get everyone to read Anatomy of the State, bro, we could just change the world. Why do I want to convince all these people who are functionally retarded of my opinion? You're better off doing what any great leader has done in history. Telling people what to think. This is the way it's going to be now. This is the way things are going to be run. And fuck you if you don't like it. I mean, when Pinochet was like, okay, what are we going to do about the economics in our country? Our country's shit. He didn't go out and talk to the arepa vendors. He didn't ask them, hey, what are we going to do? No, he called Chicago and got a bunch of economists to come down there, and he got together with them. It's called, oh, I'm going to go to the most elite motherfuckers I know, and I'm just going to tell people this is the way it is now. And that's immoral? What, people who think that, like, babies should be sold on the free market are going to tell me about morality? Go fuck yourselves. You people suck. And I used to be one of you. You suck. You want to debate? Oh, come and debate me, bro. Oh, you're scared to debate me, bro. No, the fucking rifle right there. Let's have that debate. With the fucking, with the muzzle of that in your face. That's what changes the world. What are you, fucking retarded? I'm done.
No, this is just the start, my friend. I, by the way, I love the little bit of a Spanish lilt on bringing up Franco. This really smacks me in the face living in Australia, because in Australia there's like this hyper bureaucratic sort of egalitarian system where they're like, well, we have to consider everything. It's like, what? No, you don't have to consider everything. Okay, if we have three people in the room, I'm telling you the sun's shining, and this other guy's telling you it's raining, and you can look out the window and see the sun shining, you can ignore the guy who's telling you it's raining. Like, he's obviously wrong or stupid.
How about you ignore the person who's telling you the theory about why it's raining?
Right.
Because that's what liberals and libertarians are, right? well, let's talk about the theory behind this. If we could just get this and here, it would just, if we just get this, if we get the, if we just get rid of central banking and it's all Bitcoin, everything will be perfect. There won't be any degeneracy. Oh yeah, no. Fuck you.
Or my personal favorite these days is, like, you hear these fine, upstanding people like Jordan Peterson saying, like, look, all we need to do to solve all of Africa's problems is solve world hunger. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, shit.
Yeah. How do you do that? Okay. Who's going to step forward and do that? World hunger can be solved by probably the billionaires that fund the Daily Wire. I'm willing to bet that they could solve the billionaires that fund Daily Wire, the Wilkes brothers, these two Jews pretending to be Christians. I mean, they are Christians, but they're essentially, eschatological Jews, you know, looking for, let's build that temple, you know, like Malay just said, oh, let's build that third temple and usher in what, the murder of all Jews. I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm crazy here. What is this theory? You're over here talking about, man, there's a rainstorm coming. And the leftist is like, well, who's this going to affect? The person on the right's like, I don't know, maybe we should get shelter. The libertarian's like, let's figure out why it's going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out how the rain comes in. They're useless. Fucking useless. I was talking about Malay today on the timeline, and I was saying the thing I love the most about Malay is he proves elite theory. He's not going out into the streets and are asking Argentinians what he should do. He's like, this is what we're going to do, and fuck you. And if you protest, I'm going to unleash the cops, and we're going to fuck you up.
Right, because he's defining a moral good from his from he's saying that, look, these things, these government agencies, this bloat is bad. It's bad for everything. I'm making a decision. I'm in power. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to fix it. And if you don't like it, fuck off. You're also part of the problem, and you need to go. It's the same thing with Bukele in El Salvador. And all these fucking idiots screaming like, oh, well, the human rights of the... Shut up. These guys were living in the murder capital of the world. They were living in shit. They were living in hell. They were being lorded over by gangs who were satanic. And this guy comes in and clears that thing up in, what, a year? Boom. Problem solved. Baby boom's going on. Everyone's optimistic. El Salvador is booming right now, economically and the rest of it. And now he can do other things. Once that problem's solved, now he's like, oh, we can do a whole bunch of other things. We can build civilizational capital now. We can get investments. We can build stuff. We can make this place, someplace people actually want to, live in.
Let me ask you.
Boggles my mind.
Yeah. What's Bukele's ideology?
I don't care.
Yeah, we don't know. All we know is that he went, what's the biggest problem in the country? Okay, it's crime, it's murder. How am I going to solve it? Anyone who has a neck tattoo, anyone who has a tattoo that looks like a gang tattoo, you're getting rounded up and you're getting put in prison. Okay, what's that ideology? That's the ideology of stop killing my people.
Right.
And I'm going to do anything that needs to be done. I mean,
if he turns around next week and turns out to be the biggest fucking communist on the goddamn world, okay, then we can deal with that, right? But until that point, I don't give a shit. Like, especially with Americans, and I know you guys are hypersensitive to anything socialist, but for most of us, I'm Canadian living in Australia. Like, we're raised in this stuff. Sorry, hey, go ahead.
Americans don't even know what socialism is.
Right.
You can't. You ask a libertarian what a socialist is. Like, they'll be like, "Well, the Nazis were socialists. They were Marxist." Really?
Sorry, Kate's just saying the only debate I want to see right now is Jason and Cooper debate on the brand name for civilizational capital. No, that's the name I came up with. It. That's my name. Cooper can do whatever the hell Cooper does. I don't know. He can go spurg out.
So people back in the 20s were calling themselves socialists. Pretty much everyone was calling themselves a socialist back then because it was the thing of the day. It was the thing that everybody wanted to be. It was the opposite of the capitalism that was being forced upon them by the First World War. And it's like, oh, we're all going to be socialists. Okay. So what does it mean? What does it mean? I mean, literally libertarians, like their whole and liberals, their whole idea of socialism comes from Marx. From Marx. Okay. But other people who call themselves socialists, what did that mean? I don't care. It's all tyranny. You know, shut the fuck up. All right. There's a reason why you have 300 followers on Twitter and I have 33,000. Because I can actually fucking talk about something without putting it into, well, now I can talk about something without putting it into a box and only arguing within that box. I can go outside of that box. I can talk about what the National Socialists actually believed. I can talk about what the Bolsheviks actually believed. I can talk about what the Maoists actually believed. I can talk about who started those, why they started, where it all came from. And you're there like tyranny bad because you're scared because it's like Christians I know who are scared to read the Quran because they think that they're going to like there's something in there that's going to pull me in and I'm going to become a Muslim. And these people are scared to read anything outside of their ideology because it's going to pull them in and I'm not going to be part of the group anymore. I'm not going to be able to call myself a libertarian on Facebook anymore. I'm going to get kicked out of the libertarian Facebook group. There's no libertarians in real life. It's online. It's all online. Ideology is all online because ideology is all fake. There's only two ways you can have ideology. One, you live in a homogenous society that everybody believes in the same thing and they can't even express it. They couldn't even tell you. It's just what it is. If you were to try and formalize it and put it on paper, it'd probably fuck it up. The second way is you say, this is the way we're going to be right now. And if you don't like it, you can either get out or consequences. I think that's what Milei is doing in Argentina right now, isn't he? That's the only way ideology can go forward. You have to it's either something natural or it's something forced. You just can't sit there and go, oh, we're going to have this ideology of free trade and no borders and all everything's private property, yada, 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 yada. Okay, what about the guy who builds an army? Well, we all have weapons. What about the guy who builds an army of 50,000? Well, I'm going to be on my farm and I'm going to be up with my 308 on the roof and I'm going to haul them all off. Do they not understand how much they sound like faggots?
It's because they just stack these impossible things. Like now you're saying you're going to go round up even the right wing idiots here are saying they're going to round up all the illegals and deport them by themselves without any kind of federal or state assistance. It's like, how would you do that? How would you even begin to do that? Like, what, you think they're all just in some sort of barrio that you can easily locate? And even if you did, you know, they might not want to leave. So you and your good old boys are going to have to do a whole lot more than just threaten them with shotguns, you know. And even if you dip, okay, and even if you get rid of them, they'll do this thing called come back, because you don't have a civilization anymore. You don't. This is something I've been saying quite often with Matt Erickson, is that we don't live in a civilization anymore. I believe this has become self-evident, but for people who are still mystified about it, it's like we don't build anything. All the GDP to go up, folks. Are like, okay, where's the buildings? Where's the grand design? Where, even if I don't like the architecture, even if it's not my style, at least it would be there. You'd expect to see these things happening in a civilization. Doesn't exist. I've been searching for them. All I see is crumbling down buildings and infrastructure. And people keep saying, well, infrastructure build. It's like, yeah, okay, we need more than just plumbing. But plumbing's a good place to start. But, you know, it's when Tucker went to Russia and everyone's freaking out because he's like, look at this metro station, look at these things, right? And everyone's like, oh, the fact checkers are trying to do the fact checking thing. It's like, dude, you're not getting it. The fact is that these things exist in a country that you've been told these things shouldn't exist in. These people are maintaining a certain civilizational standard and moving it forward because they think it's important for their people. It's a concept. I'm saying it's a regio. And the regio is both the region, the leader, the king, and God. You need these things in order to maintain a sense of cohesion. The Spaniards can go fight the Moors for 800 years and eventually win out because they have a regio. They may not have had their king at that point, but they had God and they had their land that they knew that that's what they're working towards. It held them together. When you don't have that, and this is why I say individualism, liberalism, nominalism, pick your poison, is a civilization killer. Because at the end of the day, it whittles down all those things. First, it destroys God, then it destroys the king, and now it's destroying your state. So you don't have any of these things. What are you calling to? What is your great moment? How are you motivating people? Well, you have a meaning crisis. Yeah, because you don't have a civilization to give you meaning. People need to have an icon to work towards. They need these things in order to self-motivate themselves. It's an automation process.
Or you need a threat.
I mean,
Singapore is a multi-ethnic society. There are a lot of races there. I mean, a lot of Asian races who don't like each other. Well, why do they get along? Yeah, traditionally. Mm-hmm. Why do they get along? Because if they don't, you'll get caned in public. You will get thrown in jail. Okay. Yeah. All I saw when he's showing the Russian train station, he's like, look how beautiful this is. Look how peaceful it is. I'm like, all those people look the same. Mm-hmm. All the people in that train station look the same.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's really weird, huh? It's really weird how, you know, Sweden could be such a, you know, peaceful place until you introduce, you know, until you empty the prisons of Africa into it. Why Iceland can be a place where when I went there a couple of years ago, they said there was like 2 murders in the last 3 years and both of them were done by tourists.
Well, they just got their first Jewish temple a few years ago.
Well, yeah, that
already the guys making noise of that. Iceland needs to open its door to immigration.
Yeah. Oh, of course, because I mean, it's just so subversive. And you know, it's hard to be different in a country that's completely homogenous. So if you start introducing other groups into it, you can hide better. Now you're not the only outside group, and it's like, oh, now people aren't noticing me. But the whole idea of liberalism is the biggest problem I have with liberalism is that it basically there's no marketplace of ideas. That's a complete myth. Never existed. It's always the people who can organize the best and basically wield power the best. Their ideology is going to win, and not because it's better, but because they've just basically monopolized the market and they've pushed other people out. And
0-1.
Liberalism does not take into consideration gatekeeping. Gatekeeping is seen as xenophobia. It is seen as hate. You know, it's like, I mean, I said, you know, okay, what went wrong with the United States? Well, I mean, except for started really importing a lot of people in pretty quickly. The first time somebody tried to teach communism, you didn't go, no, go ahead. Teach it for 5 more minutes or we'll put a bullet in your head. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to allow, you're founded upon these ideals, and then you're going to let competing ideas come in that
are antithetical to your ideals.
That are antithetical to your idea. And the people who are coming in with those ideas are willing to commit violence to
substantiate their ideas.
Substantiate those ideas. So, I mean, why are people holding on to liberalism? And you know, libertarianism. Libertarianism is just liberalism, and it's all on the left. I know people don't like the left-right divide, but I mean, when it comes to the left, I'll even take the 1930s European definition of left-right. Left is internationalist, right is nationalist. It's all leftist. I mean, all free trade is internationalism, because as soon as you're like, oh, we have to have free trade, okay, now we have to have free movement of labor. because labor is the biggest component of trade.
I would just say one thing, Pete, not to derail you, but I think the bigger thing that really freed up my mind is realizing that both left and right, internationalism and nationalism, is still playing in the same frame. And within the liberal frame, the problem is it's baked into the name itself, right? Liberty is always, you're always seeking liberty from an oppressive, like you're it's always a scapegoat. It's a push away from something. And you can, when it's proximal, it's easier to understand a person versus oppressor, slave, that kind of thing. But as you start to meticize that out, as you basically win all those little tiny victories, you stack it out into global oppression. So the oppression is it's like, you know, show me the oppression in the room with you right now? Like, where is this oppression? And we pointed out with the woke, because the woke is doing this whole victim narrative, but that's just a perfected form of liberalism. And we're seeing it in the right. I think libertarians and the woke are the exact same people, because they're always finding someone to go, no, I wouldn't be having this perfect life if it wasn't for you who are aggressing upon me. And that's liberalism in a nutshell. Sorry, Pete, I don't want to.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and I've been accused of, oh, you blame the Jays for everything. I'm like, no, I mean, you look around and you're like, well, why is every, you know, cultural and financial and legal and medical, you know, but, you know, them. Okay, I'm even willing to accept that they're the smartest race that's ever walked the earth. And they just jump right to the top of anything that they touch, any organization they touch. Okay, here's my question. Is that good or bad for us? Mm-hmm. I've heard libertarians talk about, hey, you know, I've heard big time libertarians talk about, hey, you know, we weren't asked about this immigration that's coming in. Were we asked that basically everything that we do in our culture and our financial and our legal and our medical is basically Jewish, is J-run? Were we asked? Well, let's have a conversation about that. You know, what's his name?
Where's our democracy? Where's our vote? Yeah. Maybe we should have a vote about this, right?
Yeah.
Seems only fair.
Hilaire Belloc, the Catholic writer, early 20th century, in his book, you know, The Jays, his whole thing was, how do we solve this? He goes, okay, from a Catholic standpoint, how do we solve this problem? He says the only way, and E. Michael Jones says this all the time, the only way is we have to have an open conversation about it, and they have to be involved. They have to want to be involved. Problem is, they don't want to be involved. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every time I look at I look at libertarianism and I'm like, huh, who are the fathers of libertarianism and what are their early lives look like? I look at capitalism. Huh. I look at economics and I listen to two J libertarians have a conversation on a podcast about 6 years ago. And they admitted that all economics is a bunch of J's having a conversation. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Is that what we want? Is that good for us? Is there a way we could be doing something? Is there something different we could be doing as a culture? And if we did try to do things differently as a culture, would they start another world war to stop it?
Mm-hmm. I think let me just do this.
And going back to why I talk about liberalism is liberalism allowed all of this to happen. It allows people to just come right in. And be like, okay, we're going to dictate where we have this power. We bring this wealth. We're going to dictate what it is now.
We got Matthew Erickson in the chat. Look at these two devilish handsome bastards. It's true. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We have 88 people watching right now. We will continue to bring the fire in 2 seconds. Thank you for everyone who's watching. Get those likes up. I see 21 likes, or that's what it last check. We got 88 watching. Get those likes up on YouTube, please.
Well, over on North Sea makes the point. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep shelling.
No, I apologize. Yeah. 2 seconds. If you have any questions for Pete, the chat's bumping. It's hard to do both at the same time. So if you have any questions, send us a super chat. Send us $2. It doesn't really matter what you send. And we will read those out as they come in or at the end of the show. Thank you for everyone who's been watching and subscribing. It's been a heck of a few months. So this is holding me together, folks. You guys are holding me together by hope and glue, I tell you. Keep an eye on what we're doing, because we're going to be doing some very interesting things coming up. This is going to be a big year. Okay, Pete, as you were saying.
If you want to bring this back to liberalism, it's like, okay, so this small, very organized group infiltrated the country, and admittedly, they admit it. The World J Congress admits it, that they helped with feminism. They helped with women voting, getting the 19th Amendment, Civil Rights Act, all of these things. Okay, so they admit it. Okay. How did that happen? It happened because we allowed it. The system is set up so that a powerful group can come in and can take over. Is it good for us? I mean, is usury good for us? You know, as Catholics and Orthodox, we say no. We think it's a sin. Okay, well, if it's a sin, then if we do partake in it, at least we know what we're going into, you know, we can do our penance for it and everything. But are there better options? Are there other options? Why is liberalism always the current thing? And if you want to change the current thing, then you're the enemy. Why is that? Because a small, powerful group, and it doesn't even have to be the Jays.
Could be the Irish.
Are in charge of it. And Irish. Are in charge of it, and they don't want to lose their
potatoes.
They don't want to lose their power. God, just burn in the sun. God.
That's why they're getting rid of all the redheads. That's why Disney's wiping them out, because that's the counter elite. They're afraid of the Irish taking over, going, "We've got grievances too, you bastard. We've got generational grievances. Oh, we were slaves way back in the day. We were back in Egypt. We was kings, I tell you." I don't know if that's Irish or Scottish or a bit of both. It doesn't matter. Let's play this clip. This is because you brought up Dave Smith earlier. This is Dave and super fan of the show, Clint Russell, talking about the border. Let's get this volume up for a second.
Oop. We've gotten to a point where it's like, yo, this is fucking insane. Like, I don't care. If you believe in open borders right now under current situation, under current circumstances, you're an insane person, and you're as bad as a communist. You're as bad as saying, well, I believe in this theory, and sure, my theory is going to result in the destruction of your kids' lives, but I'm so committed to this theory that you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet or something like that. I'm just like not even interested in talking to you anymore. This is like too crazy. And so like the answer is take our fucking entire military and put them on our border and secure our border. We've gotten.
Well, now. There's a Jay. There's a Jay talking sense for a second.
Well, I mean,
I know Is Dave still technically Jay, or is he like been kind of stripped of the tribe a little bit?
I don't know. They seem to not like him very much about his Israel comments and everything. But you know, what I will say is that's exactly what Ron Paul said in 2008. I mean, he was talking about bringing all the troops home and putting them on the border. You know, so I don't know if people remember that, but I remember that. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. But you know, one of the big problems is that the enemy is already in the gates, within the gates. What do you do about that? And that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is, you know, I mean, and I will add in, you know, that workforce that was imported into the country over, you know, the span of 300 years. As being a problem. I mean, I know how to read crime statistics. So what do you do? How do you solve all of this? I mean, they basically set it up so that you know, you end slavery and it's like, oh, we'll let them stay here. These people we've been, you know, enslaving. Yeah, let them stay here. You know, the progressive, you know, Protestants come down from the north, and they're like, oh, we can turn them into good Protestants. We can turn them into good Presbyterians. Okay, whatever. And then you just basically import the third world. And, you know, and Reason Magazine today has a, well, it wasn't today. I think it was an article from yesterday where they're talking about how there's Palestinian refugees in the country now, and Biden should give them permanent amnesty and bring more in. Okay, well, that's a libertarian magazine. Yeah, but they're not real libertarians. See, that's the thing is, they're not real libertarians. These people over here, they're real libertarians. Mm-hmm. The ones here, they're not real libertarians.
Okay. So is the dividing line just degeneracy? Is that
real libertarians?
Self-hatred, not real libertarians. Right.
Is it degeneracy? I mean, I think that's one of the things. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you can be a libertarian and you could be against degeneracy. You can be against open borders. You can talk all you want, and you're still promoting left values. Free trade, free, you know, private this, private that. There's really no way to make any of that work. So really, it's just masturbation at the end of the day. But, you know, hey, at least we hold on to our principles. And I'm not going to give my opinion about how I think things should be fixed now, how we could do better now, because I'll be kicked out of the libertarian Facebook group or my libertarian Twitter DM group, because I went outside of the box that we've built for ourselves. These materialists who have no connection to, you know, the eternal. So everything is about now, and they're trying to come at me and preach morality about open borders and how, oh, you can't say people coming over the borders, you should be able to shoot them, because what flying spaghetti monster says that's bad. No, go fuck yourselves. You, when it comes to right down to it, liberalism and libertarianism does not stand up to the logic test. There's nothing logical about it. They basically have to turn themselves inside out to make it sound good, or they just have to actually openly admit, as I did at one time, that this is all a theory. It's never going to work, but hey, it's my identity. Because I stopped going to church for a bunch of years, and I need a religion.
There's the clip. You know, I was born on July 20th, which is the saint, and my saint day is my saint's day is Saint Elijah. So I've been sometimes called a bit of a zealot on certain issues. But what is surprising to me, to people, is that individualism on a long enough time frame removes you from history itself. You have, it's not just that it's a bad ideology in terms of its prognosis or what it produces, is that on the individual level, if you want to go that way, on the person level, it removes you from everything worth having: family, identity, purpose, meaning, a sense of self, a sense of history, a sense of people, a sense of direction, a future. It destroys all that because, and this is what the atheist doesn't understand, is that basically what you're saying when you become an atheist is that you're taking all of morality, all of reality, all of everything on your shoulders, because you have to be. You are the only moral agent in the world. Don't think about how you got those moral things. Wizzle wazzle evolution, social evolution, something or other, right? But you have to now be the arbiter of good and bad on every single situation at all times, because you can't defer to anything. It's got to be you. That's a crushing thing. There's your civilizational nihilism to a key. It destroys human capital, because how can you do that? If the primary form of human capital is attention and time, And all your time and attention is given up to mundane questions like, well, is this good or that good? I don't know. Open borders or not open borders? Well, you should really consider the human repercussions to criminals who are raping and killing babies. Oh, you know, like, this is stupid. Like, we don't got time, man. Like, Pete, you and I are the same age, and I think something happens in your mid-40s where you become realizing that you have less time ahead of you than you do behind you. And there becomes a sort of quickening event, right, where you're like, okay, we got to move along here. Like, I don't know. Tomorrow might be the last day. If tomorrow's the last day, what have I done? What have I set in motion? What is going on here? And this is where it brings us to this critical point of history where we're now suffering the consequences of 120 years of absolute bullshit betrayal. This is why I say that the spirit of the age that's coming down the pike, that's being born in front of our eyes, is the vengeful sun. It's a spirit of fuck you. I'm not doing this anymore. This is bullshit. This is retarded. I'm not doing this anymore. Elon Musk going and telling basically Disney and all the CEOs to go fuck themselves. The GameStop kids telling them like, hold the stonks. You know, you're going to lose all your money. I don't care. I want to bleed them. I want to hurt them. That's the spirit we're coming into. And the danger for the religious people like ourselves is that it's going to feel good. Like you once said that if this keeps going, you're going to see people hanging from overpasses soon. And I think that's the dangerous thing that they're spiraling into. Is that if there isn't a stopgap, if we don't start doing some very logical, sensible things like, hey, maybe unlimited immigration because taco's good is retardedly bad and we need to stop it. Maybe if we start saying that, look, I get it, right? It's one of the hardest things in the world ever to admit. And I give you, Pete, so much credit, you and a few others, like who else was there? Buck Johnson's done this as well. You realize at some point you're wrong. I did this where I was fundamentally wrong about reality and then had to change. And it's brutal. It's not a fun place to be. But well,
especially
in that rebuilding process,
especially when you're kind of a public, I mean, you're a niche kind of public figure, and you have thousands of people who listen to you, and you know, tens of thousands of people who follow you on social media, and you change your mind. You're presented with more information, you change your mind, and these fucking lazy ass people don't want to change their mind because they're stuck in their identity, because they have no identity outside of their fringe political online bullshit. And then they're just laughing at you and they're like, oh, you change your mind all the time. You have no principles. You have no, go fuck yourself. Really, go fuck. And you would never say that to my face. And you would never say it to my face. You're in a non-account on friggin' social media. You would never say. I've had one person who confronted me to my face at an event, and I really fucking respected him. I really respected him for it because I had met him before. We had hung out before, and he's like, he was really upset about something. And I think he knew that we could have a conversation, even though I could see in his eyes he was really upset. And we interact on Twitter almost every day now. You know, I mean, I haven't seen him because I haven't been over to Atlanta in a while. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's fine. But you know, if you change your mind. Yeah, that was another thing. It was like I had to figure out who I was. Who am I? Who am I in life? Okay, you know, I started off as a son. You know, then I became a brother. And, you know, I became a husband. And, you know, I've always been, now that I go back and look, I've always, since, you know, I was 45 days old, I've always been a Catholic. And that's who I am. That's who I am. Everything else goes is just fringe, is just yeah, this is, you know, I like reading about National Socialism. I like reading about about the Falun Gong in Spain and the fascists. You know, it's like I have a picture of them on my wall. I have a picture of a fascist on my wall. Yeah, you know, I also have Jesus the Teacher right down there. You know, all it is I have a couple hobbies, but I never forget who I am. And who I am is way more important than, you know, let's face it. Come on. A lot of these people, libertarians and, you know, even these conservatives and these people who are making their living off of this, they have fear of loss.
Of course.
They may know that what they're talking about is never going to happen, but it's like, oh, we'll hold it out for the ideal and everything like that. And, you know, and it's like, well, if they turn and they say, well, you know, libertarianism isn't going to happen, so I'm never going to talk about it again. Well, what happens to their income? Their income might plummet. It happened to me. Happened to me when I left libertarianism. Happened to me when I didn't get my certain paychecks I had coming in and everything. Started over. Because it was more important to me to be true to who I am and be true to my own thoughts than it is to be like, hey, I'm a libertarian. I'm an anarcho-capitalist. And I'm in this group on Facebook, and we're the coolest anarcho-capitalist group on Facebook. We're the coolest anarcho-capitalist direct message group on Twitter. We watch out for each other. We watch out for each other on social media. We defend each other. Make some in real life friends. I mean, really, make some in real life friends.
The danger too is that when you start dealing in unreality for too long, that's why I say that you start building these contradictions, and these contradictions start to stack in your head. And there's only two ways this ends: either you go crazy, or you become religious. There's like, because those contradictions begin to fall. For me, the final plate on top of the whole shit sandwich was George Floyd protests. I was living in Montreal. My daughter had just been born, or was just about to be born. We lived in a duplex, upper floor, this big giant window in the living room. I looked out my window into this park, and I saw a whole bunch of Canadians, mostly atheists, kneeling in the park towards, I think it was towards the east, for this dead American black guy in a religious ceremony. And that was one where I was like, tink, like something's going on. Something's way off. Like this is weird. And if this is going on, then you got to readjust your whole foundational understanding of reality. You know, and of course, with the COVID and lockdown, yada, yada, all those things began to just put that pressure on, where it's like your idea, your concept, or your ideologies aren't phronemas. You know, ideologies aren't worldviews. An ideology can't tell you how to live your life, or what to do when your dad gets sick, or how to raise your kid. It just can't. It's not in there. The libertarians tried to do that with a nap, which is sort of like a vague moral whatever, right? But it's there's nothing really there. So
it's why
you need a phronema.
Why is aggression wrong?
Right.
Why is it wrong? Well, because it's contradictory private property. No, why is aggression wrong? Yeah, if you're, I mean, I've seen people say that if you can just get Bitcoin, if you can just fix the money, if you can just get a wealthy society, it'll fix all of these problems. Really?
The only people who think that are poor. That they're saying that their problem is poverty, or their problem is economics. Therefore, if we somehow magically fix all economics, then all their problems go away. It's self-centered bullshit.
Yeah, and the problem with economics is like, okay, it's just like any other ideology. It's not going to exist purely, you know, unless it's a small group operating it amongst each other, you know, or unless it's forced, unless it is ideologically, and unless it is the ideology of it is forced upon the people. And economics is literally like, you know, I think Matt was the first person I think I ever heard say that libertarianism is like Christianity without Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ is economics is their Christ. Economics shout is their savior. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Matt Erickson at King Guild. Everyone should
shout out to Matt
as well.
Shut up. Screwed up rebellion. the economics is their savior. They do have a Christ. It's economics. The problem is that economics can't make a sacrifice for you. You have to make a sacrifice. You have to be the sacrifice. So I mean, there's you have to sacrifice in order to make, if you want something to if you want something to run, if you want something to be in the realm of a kind of secular kind of savior, first of all, it's not going to happen. But the closest thing is going to be, it's going to be you. It's going to be you saving yourself from this, relying upon, you know, relying upon your faith, and you either getting out of the system, either deciding to participate in the system, either being in and out of the system. It's just, you, it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing in libertarianism. There's nothing in liberalism that you can argue that makes sense. Because in order for something to make sense, it has to be able to exist on its own. And it can't exist on its own. The mountains can exist on their own until, you know, nature can exist on its own. Okay? We're part of nature, but we're also fallible. We're also, you know, we're going to die one day. And relying upon saying that we can beat that or we can make that journey easier because of an ideology that's something that is completely material and relies upon, I mean, fallen people to keep it in line, you're post-ideological is, I mean, it's literally, it's like, what are you? I'm post-ideological. What works? What works? What makes things, what causes what I want to see, what I'm willing to put up with? How does that work? How do we get there? I just don't know what, I don't know what else to say. It just doesn't, it can't exist. It doesn't exist. It will never exist. It's created in a vacuum. It's like Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan, and so you get punched in the mouth. Until they get punched in the mouth. Liberalism and anarcho-capitalism is perfect, you know, works perfectly until you insert it into reality. What we got going on here?
Yeah. We got Saint Teresa of Avila, Catholic saint, wrote The Interior Castle, a nice Jewish girl who converted and a doctor, 16th century. I think his response to that saying that you can be a Jewish and Christian. Like, you know, it's not these two things aren't exclusionary. In fact, if you're Orthodox Christian, we believe that we are the continuation of the Jews. We are the true Jews, essentially, if you want to get into that whole thing. But that's a conversation for another time. Pete, we got about 10 minutes left in the hour. Bro, you brought fire. Brought fire from the heavens, sir. We got to get you a sword that we can set on fire a bit. Well, we round out the hour. Matt Erickson, the mighty Matt Erickson, personal friend of mine, has got you on board with the PayPal Mafia. Mm-hmm. He was on the show about a week ago and brought this up. We, of course, have you coming back on in March 1st for the PayPal Mafia Friend or Fed, which is going to be just pure fire. What is this? Go away.
Yep.
What is what? Go away. Okay. PayPal Mafia, go. What? Okay, so for people who haven't watched the episode with Matt Erickson, go watch that after this, or after the post-show hang, I should say. What are your current thoughts on the PayPal Mafia as what Matt's talked to you about, and as you're starting to see these things start to? Because I think once you see it, you can't unsee it. Like,
it's hard. So Matt gave me like a list of like a bunch of people to follow on Twitter, and I've turned on notifications for them. But first, of course, after the episode, I went and I looked at some of Vivek's old interviews, the one he did with Sean Ryan. And I think he did one with what's that comedian's name? That's the one I haven't seen yet, and I did notice.
It's not unregistered, but it's like Flagrant, I think, with
something. The
my mustache is better, by the way.
So I watched him, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, he seems like a neo-reactionary. He's definitely hitting all the talking points that a Yarvin would hit, that a James, he's read James Burnham. It's clear that he's read James Burnham. Okay. So that Andrew Schultz. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So that made me rethink him, you know. Also something that Matt said, was, you know, if you're looking at these guys and you're like, oh, well, you know, they're not 100%. It's like, you're basically saying, you know, it's like, you're not a real libertarian kind of thing. And that really is, that gets really tiresome. You know, it's like, oh, Bukele kissed the wall and Bukele's wife has some, you know, has some J in her and everything. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go by what he's doing. I'm just going to judge him by what he's doing. Don't really give a shit. So then I started looking at, you know, some of the other people, David Sacks and all these guys, guys I had never really heard of before. And I'm following their tweets and I'm like, there's something, these guys are, just from their language and what they're talking about and how they're retweeting each other and some of the things that they're saying, it looks like they're building a parallel society. It looks like they're in the process of building a parallel society. Is it my perfect society? I can guarantee you right now, it is not my perfect society. Does it seem like it would be better than the one we have right now? I'm pretty sure it would, considering what I've been able to look at. And that opinion can change tomorrow. Okay. And then I started noticing, like, looking at Vivek's appearances with Trump. And that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. No one, yeah, a cathedral, if you will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one. Has ever been in 2016, there was no one out there doing that with Trump. I mean, just basically going out, opening up for him, giving a better speech than him, and then having him come up there. And, you know, and when you look at Trump, it looks like Trump does not really want him there. So if Trump doesn't want, but
he's also the guy who's talking about the managerial class on fucking interviews.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's Burnham. He's basically parroting Burnham, which is great. Another thing I'm looking at, and it's something that Matt said, and it's something that really inspired my Substack this morning. The Substack I wrote this morning was, these guys aren't complaining. I mean, they're complaining about, you know, like, oh, stuff that's happening. A lot of them live in San Francisco. They're like, oh, we need to get these laws fixed and everything. But they're not like in existential dread. And that's what it seems like everybody, you know, I could put myself in this. Everybody who complains about the Jays all the time talks about the Jays, Jay power, talks about the regime and this. It's like this sense of existential dread. These guys don't have it. Mm-hmm. These guys are like, we're going to do this no matter what. We're going to succeed no matter what. Nothing's going to stop us. And you can make the excuse, okay, these guys have billions of dollars and yada, yada. How did they make those billions of dollars? Vivek and mRNA vaccine, you know, technology and everything like that. I mean, I think he had a pump and dump. So, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. But what I see is, I see guys who look at the government, see a failed business, and they're like, we can build a better model, and we're going to build a better model.
So I'm just repeating to A. Doe here. He said, how do you convince young women that they should get married, have children, when the culture tells them the opposite? How does one not conform to this nihilist culture without being isolated? My simple answer to that is, build a civilization worth living in. You build a civilization. Look, El Salvador is experiencing a baby boom right now. Okay, 1 year after locking up all the prisoners, they're experiencing, and he's just, Bukele's just won by like, what, 80, 90%, whatever he won you want to go with. Okay, and they're having a baby boom. Of civil people who want to live in a civilization.
Well,
that's how you do it.
Like, I have an easier answer. Ask him. Mm-hmm. Ask him to marry you.
Right. Yeah. That usually works.
Ask him to marry you. Look, if you're a successful person,
Pete and I are both married. It's not like some magic spell.
Yeah. And what's funny is if you meet the right person, right off the bat, it's pretty much assumed you're going to get married. You don't even have. I never asked her. We just knew that we were going to get married.
I was engaged within like 3 months of meeting my wife. We just were like, she even said like, I think on like the first week of dating, she's like, we're going to get married. I'm like, okay, you know. And then like 3 months later, I'm like, let's just get married and propose, and that was it. We were married before our first year anniversary of dating, because. Move it along, folks. Like, yeah, you're gonna have a relationship. It's gonna have hardships. It's gonna be tough sometimes. You're gonna pull your hair out. You're gonna be like, "What the fuck did I just do? Why is my life on fire?" Well, it's because you're married, and that's gonna happen. And then that's gonna calm down, and you're gonna have the value and the safety and all the other great things that come with marriage. You get to grow with someone. You get to have it. You get to experience this life with somebody by your side for the rest of your life. That's worth fighting and dying for. And then you bring kids into the whole equation, and it's like, well, what are we talking about?
GL asked if isn't Sax a J. Yeah, I think he is. And like I said, some of my favorite people are, you know, Dave Smith is a good friend of mine. Paul Gottfried is an amazing man. Ron Unz is an amazing man. I mean, I can run down a list. I mean, I just don't care. I mean, what do you believe? What is it that you believe? You know, the guy over my shoulder, you know, Francis Barker Yaki, arch fascist, running around writing screeds against J. Power in the 1950s. When he got caught by the FBI, you know where he was? He was in a rabbi's house. He was with a friend of his that was a rabbi. Really odd, huh? Like, it's almost like you can judge people on an individual basis while you're looking at a group and saying, wow, that group seems to be doing some weird shit.
Yeah. Historically or in the moment. Yeah. That's why I made the distinction between civil and primal. And we'll talk about this at some other point more in depth, but by making those two distinctions, it helps. I think it helps. It's like anyone can be in a civil frame. It doesn't have to, and everyone can be in a primal frame. And by primal, I don't mean just people in grass skirts, although those people too. Like, you can have blue-haired wokeism. Those are primal frame people. Zero time for reference. Everything's immediate. Every danger is existential because in a primal frame, you have to act like that because there could be a tiger in that bush. Like, you know, if you take us and put us on a desert island or out in isolation, we will get into primal frame really real fucking fast. It's not bad. It's just, it's useful in certain situations and not useful in civilization. And when you import that primal frame into it through ideology or immigration or any of that, it will destroy the civilization.
Yeah.
Because they can't exist in it. That's why you have immigrants throwing a white pregnant lady in France out the bus, because they're just like, no, this is my need. I will not sacrifice. I will not subdue. Like, I need to get on this bus. You're in my way. Out you go. That's primal frame shit, right? In a civilization frame, you would never even think of that. It would never even cross your fucking mind.
Yeah.
And you react in horror to it because it's like, that's anti-civilizational. Not just, right. And we hit like humanity and all morality, all that stuff. Yes. But it's held together in that. Like, you have to be civilizational to respect civilization and do things that I think are inherently irrational, but have a super rationality to them because it's internally consistent. There's no good reason to make a bank beautiful other than making a bank beautiful is good for civilization. You know, like,
all right. Well, yeah, the question here is, A. Doe says, of course we need an alternative civilization. How do you do that? You build one. That's what people are doing right now. And for those of you, to bring this all back to liberalism and libertarianism, for those of you saying, but it's not going to be perfectly to my liking, you're no different than the libertarians who are saying, well, if it's not perfectly libertarian, it's completely immoral and I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, literally, I would just, a regime that would ignore me at this point is preferable to what we have now. They would just ignore me, mm-hmm. forget that I exist. So, Matt's in the chat and he says Vivek explicitly cites Burnham in the Andrew Schultz interview. Yeah.
We had Jim Bob in the chat as well. I don't know if he's still around. Jim, if you ever want to come on the show, just reach out to me and we'll sort you out, bud. Love to have you on.
But yeah, the whole idea, I think a lot of people have realized that we need something different, that it isn't enough to adjust what's the regime that's in power now. It basically has to be supplanted. And the only way you can supplant it, so some people are saying, well, it'll just fall apart. Okay. If it falls apart, what's going to take its place? Your ideology that you haven't built upon, that you haven't done anything, or could it possibly be these people who are building out an alternative? I mean, they have alternative defense. I mean, they're building their own defense departments. All you have to do is follow the right people that Matt told me to follow on Twitter, and you could see what they're building.
Just research Peter Thiel and look into look at Prospera. Look at a few of these initiatives. Look at what was it? Peter Thiel's basically private CIA is name escapes me right now. I'm sure Matt helped me out in the chat. But yeah, these guys are building this thing. And this is what Matt and I are talking about. This is why we're rereading Patchwork and putting it together with Civilizational Capital, is that I believe these people are looking, either they're reading Yarvin and agree with him, or at least using aspects of Yarvin. Or Yarvin's part of the group. Who knows what? But there's too many overlays. There's too many similarities of what they're doing in connection to Patchwork to just go, oh, it's just whatever. Like, no, if Peter Thiel's doing something, you better fucking check it out. You better be aware of it at least, and maybe start to make plans. If you're against it, great, get the fuck out and move to, I don't know, Brazil or something, right? Like, pick a place and go live in the woods. But these things are happening, and they're going to happen with or without you. So it'd be kind of better if you start making plans and making and figuring things out so that you can at least operate and stay on the board. Oh. Even if you're against them all, like, oh, Elon Musk is going to enslave her. Okay, well then what, how do you make sure you're not one part, not the people who are being enslaved? How do you make sure you and your tribe or your clan aren't going to be negatively affected by this, or could maybe prosper? You're going to sit there and go show them Anatomy of State and go, you can't do this, it's aggression. It's like, fuck you. Like, you deserve to be eaten at this point. You deserve it.
Well, if people want to know. Here,
sorry, thank you.
If people want to know how you do this, I mean, you go read, you could read it in 3 or 4 hours, Peter Thiel 0 to 1. Mm-hmm. You do not build upon what came previous. You build something different. You go from 0 to 1. You don't start at 1 and go, okay, here, this is 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. No, it has to be completely changed. So, I mean, and I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, I don't know that I agree with them on 60%, but what I see looks a lot better than it looks like it'll be run a lot more orderly than what liberalism is now. Because
and once you have order, you can build from order. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. You're good. You have to look at what, do you want order? That's what I want. I want order.
We said this with Yarvin when he was on the Joe Rogan Friend or Fed we did with you and me and Yarvin. And I said to him, like, look, the desire we need to substantiate is a desire for order. And everyone wants their own particular brand of order. But I'm like, fuck that. Just get order. Like, any order will do at this point. I'll caveat that an order that doesn't take you off the board, right?
Right.
That's what you want. As an Orthodox Christian, I think he made the example is like, yeah, if tomorrow you could live in an orderly Lutheran society, that would be fine. Like it'd be like maybe not your perfect thing, but at least you're like, okay, the Lutherans aren't going to come after me. Like, right. they're not all that interested in excluding me completely from the conversation. And even if they are, hey, my daughter's not going to get gang raped. So fine. Like, that's good, you know?
A Do says the people in Maui were probably happy with their little community and didn't want to change it. I mean, the exception doesn't prove the rule. You can't allow the exception to prove the rule. Everybody has this like ego about them that they think that if they build something, it's going to be so special that somebody's going to show up and destroy it. Because I'm so special. No, you're not fucking special. You're not. You're real. You're not. You're this. You're this, and you're nothing. You're nothing. Why are you thinking you're so special that you're? If I build something special, the government's going to come and they're going to destroy it.
Then rebuild it.
I mean, when did that?
Just like, make a sandcastle. Oh no, the ocean knocked it over. Yeah, you build another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. You just keep building it, assholes. Like, just keep going.
I mean, what this is defeatism. It's just, I mean, literally, you have two choices at this point. Go and live in the literal woods. I mean, I live out in the middle of nowhere. I don't live out in the middle of nowhere, but I'm pretty close to out in the middle of nowhere. Go live in the woods and, you know, do your Ted Kaczynski thing, or just fucking kill yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I mean, what's the point of living if you think that you're going to build something and that somebody's going to come along and fucking destroy it for you? What hope do you have in life? What hope?
Here's the thing. This is my position, Pete, when we're talking about civilization and capital and how Matt and I are building towards something, and we'll talk about it maybe off stream, because I think we can get you on board with this and you're going to like it. One of the foundational things I keep saying to people is like, look, I want to get you on board on this thing. It's going to be generational. We're not going to see the end of it in our lifetime. And the great thing, and the other thing I'm telling you is it's going to fail on a long enough time frame. I guarantee it. Like all civilizations do. The thing that we keep doing is we're modeling the city of God. And we're moving, and we're basically saying this is a pebble, right? One more pebble to raise the water so the crow can drink. It's just, we're getting closer. And it's going to be a generational, multi-generational, 1,000, 10,000, how many thousands of years process that we just keep moving forward. Because we're civils and we build. Why? Because we're civils. That's what we do. We will not live in shitty mud huts. I will refuse to live in the fucking pod. I will not eat the fucking bugs. It's not going to fucking happen. You can come and kill me. You can martyr me. Fine, martyr me. But it's not going to happen. It's we're just saying no. And we're so, and then, but it's not enough to say no. It's you have to say no. And then we're like, no. And we're going to do this other thing. We're going to start building civilizational capital, and we're going to start building villages and town. We're going to get a tribe together, and then from the tribe, we're going to build a village, and from the village, we're going to build a town, and from the town, we're going to build a city, and that city's going to build a civilization, and go fuck yourself. Like, that's what we do. And I'm encouraging everybody from all walks of life. You want to put your regio, your god as Odin and do that? Fantastic. Have at it, man. Because either you succeed at something, and I'll be studying it, or you fail, and I'll be studying that too. Give me data, right? Get a million of them out there. We'll prove it online. We'll run the beta test online. Show me where I'm wrong. Go ahead. Because I'm going to take all your data, I'm going to put it in my civilization, and I'm going to rebuild it. Build it bigger, better, and stronger. At all steps of the way. And that's what we're going to do. Because I'm sick and tired of sitting around and complaining. Or, you know, it's the same thing with podcasts. Like, you know, Pete, I love your show. I watch your show all the time. You know, it's been a big model for me. But at some point, and I'm sure you feel this too, at some point it's like, are we just talking here? Mm-hmm. Like, is this just, what good is this? Where's the praxis? Like, if you know, one of the weird things, you get to a certain point and people start reaching out to you and start saying, like, as you know, and you do whole shows about this, where people reach out to you and say, you've helped me get through XYZ. And that's very positive. And so I want to take that and build on that, because what we have here, we have 94 people watching on YouTube and across platforms. Thank you, everybody who's watching and responding. You know, I've been seeing incredible growth. Your show's just pure fire. We got Thomas. We got all these other people. We have people. What do we do with these people? It's just not just like, let's inspire you to know who the enemy is. It's like, how do we inspire you to build and tell the enemy to fucking kick sand? That's what I want to do. And I think that's what you want to do. And I think that's what a lot of people want to do, that we need to build. Because that's the one thing that this enemy class, this stupid regime, this crumbling liberal individualism bullshit thing, is they're not building anything. Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
No, they're not. Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's just time to start building, to figure out exactly what needs to be done. Because either this thing is going to fall apart, or it's going to keep going and it's going to keep getting weaker. And we can't rely on anything. Yeah.
I think we can wrap up there. Pete, I don't know if I'll extend the invitation. I'm going to do a post show hang.
Sure.
We'll wrap up here. I'll set that up. I'll send you the invite. Matt, if you want to jump in on there too. Anyone who signed up, it's $2 to sign up to our members only. There's links are in the description below. You can find us there. I'll send it out. I gotta go use the facilities and all that stuff. And we'll reconvene here in about 15 or so minutes. We'll continue this. If Matt wants to get in here, we'll get you on board. We'll start laying out some civilizational capital stuff for you, Pete. I think you're gonna like this one. Thank you for everyone who's watching. Pete, please tell people where they can find you, where they can consume some more of Pete Canones. Get that rub.
And we have two very easy URLs for the podcast, PeteQ.org, and for the Substack, PeteSubstack.com. That's it.
Follow him, folks. Give him some money, your money. Just so you guys know, when you sign up, you either give me super chats or you sign up to the members only and that stuff. A lot of that money goes out to guys like Pete, guys like Thomas. I always make sure that I sign up for the monthly or the yearly subscribers, because I think it's important. We got to support each other and create our own ecosystems. And I do what I can. So I appreciate you all. If you know, either support them directly or support them through me, as you will. Love you guys. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pete. It was always a pleasure, man.
Of course.
We will talk to you again soon. Just hang up, Pete. I'll talk to you after this.